let's get into Saturday Night Live talk here.
Yeah.
This was an impossible homework assignment.
We could have done five segments on this and still not come to any agreements.
Yes. Yes. You're exactly right, because the 40-year anniversary is this weekend. And it was such a groundbreaking show. And I know you were in bands and stuff back then, but whenever this show started, that had to be all the talk for your peeps.
It was. I really felt like I was missing out on something. And there were no VCRs back then, either.
No?
When you missed something, you really missed it.
So do you remember when you first were able to sit down and watch it? Because you were playing every weekend, weren't you?
Yeah. It was probably, I doubt if I saw anything at all the first year of it.
Really?
First season of it.
See, the great thing about this show is, Mike, you're about 20 years older than us. And you, at the time in your 20s, were realizing that there was something pretty kick-ass going on, right? With SNL. Or that you were missing out. It was talked about.
I was hearing that. Yeah, it was talked about a lot. I was hearing it. I was hearing that there was something really different going on.
Well, personally, for myself, which is redundant to say, it was as big of a deal when it was actually airing in the 70s for me, because it was something that you snuck and stayed up and watched because you thought you were getting away with something cheeky or adult. And it had Mr. Bill, which is always funny.
It did. Yes. It, look, as edgy as it was, my parents let me watch it in the late 70s.
Oh, no.
And I love, that was my favorite character, was Mr. Bill.
Because it was a man made out of Play-Doh.
Right.
And Sluggo.
Yeah. So we've come up with our top 10 list of all-time characters.
The things they would do to Mr. Bill.
Poor Mr. Bill.
Oh, God.
I'm in control here, Bill.
Again, this is incredibly controversial, and it was really difficult to do, but we have a tie at number 10 in our hardline ranking system, which was very scientific,
point-related.
We have a tie between Chris Farley and Adam Sandler at number 10, mainly because they came in together.
They were paired off in skits all the time. They had movies together.
Yes, they were.
Oh, wait, no, that was him and Spade.
But they went hand in hand. You thought of those two together in that class of people. They both made such massive impacts.
Nothing funnier than having Chris Farley dressed as an old woman reading reviews out of the Zagat's catalog book, the Zagat's review book.
Anything that they were in together, whether it was Lunch Lady or the Gap Girls, any of that stuff, was the Herlihy Boy.
Herlihy Boy's great.
And, of course, you know, they went on before Farley died, at least. He was moving in that direction, too. As a matter of fact, he was. I mean, Chris Farley was... He was a monster star. Oh, it sucks.
I think both of these guys should be ranked higher than this.
Okay.
I don't disagree, but...
There's only so many spots
right.
in the top
okay.
10.
All right.
You have to put a woman in there, because there have been such historical landmark women, and it was a dogfight between probably Kristen Wiig and Tina Fey, but you have to put Tina Fey in.
You got to consider Gilda.
Yeah, Gilda Radner. Mike
girls.
Loves Jan Hooks.
Oh, Jan Hooks is awesome. Anna Gasteyer.
Yeah, who I
Amazing.
Love.
Amazing.
But Tina Fey was so involved in everything.
Polar.
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
Great.
Tina was such a large part in a writing capacity that there's really no denying her impact.
She was predominantly was just a writer, and she did Weekend Update. She wasn't in a lot of skits.
No. No. You know, matter of fact, Rolling Stone, they have her at number 3 all time. All time on this list. We have her...
Well, I think that's a little high, but I think she definitely belongs on it, and I think she's placed right here.
At number 8, Will Ferrell. Now, Will, it's really... Will was... Anything he was in his era, I thought was funny. He was the star. You know, the post-Farley, Sandler era of Saturday Night Live, when that rolled around, Will Ferrell became a massive star very quickly. And the thing is, though, he got better in his movies. I don't think that he was fully...
He wasn't fully realized on that show.
I don't think so. Boy, but he did a ton.
Some of my favorite stuff was him and Anna Gasteyer as the singing duo. When they would get up and sing in front of kids at some school function. And then, of course, him and Rachel Dratch as the lovers.
That's awesome.
Come lay with me, love, on your heart's edge. We'll fill our bellies full of spiced meats.
So creepy.
It's awesome.
And I know this may have been in your SNL dark period.
Yeah, I did. I think he's a little high here on the list.
He might be.
He's number 12 in Rolling Stone, and we have him at number 8.
I would put either Chris Farley or Adam Sandler ahead of him.
He was big, though,
and
man.
Maybe even Tina Fey.
The cheerleader skit was overwhelmingly massive.
Very popular.
Yes.
Harry Carey.
The lovers.
His George Bush for an entire regime.
Yep. Was huge.
Was definitive.
The cowbell scene with Christopher Walken.
One of the greatest skits ever.
Ever. We have Bill Murray at number 7. The great Bill Murray, one of the original cast members. And I would say kind of the glue of those early days. He was neither fish nor fowl. He wasn't massive, but it seemed like if you needed someone in a skit, then he was the guy that you went to.
He could pull it off, and he always had something to add to it.
Yeah.
You always got more than you think you would out of him.
And what a career post.
Yes, and in this list, too, you have to recognize the historical impact of those first few years. And how big it was, because without these people, there is no SNL whatsoever. They had to be, and no one had ever heard of them before.
Mm-hmm.
Dana Carvey.
On this list, I think I would put Farley or Sandler ahead of him, too.
Yeah, okay. I know. Dana Carvey at number 6. And you could make the case that Dana Carvey could be number 1, 2, or 3.
So much memorable.
Oh, my God, man. It is unreal when you think about it.
And it probably starts with the church lady.
I love that the church lady can play drums.
Yeah, the church lady was big. He did everything, though. You just a guy that had all those voices, you know, whether it was Johnny Carson or George Bush or Ross Perot.
Or Wayne's World, all that.
Yeah, maybe
Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe Wayne's World is his more signature to him than the church lady.
Well, if you put Farley and Sandler in there hand in hand, then you put Dana Carvey and Mike Myers in there hand in hand too.
There's Mike Myers at number 5.
Oh God, so great.
Yeah, just too many to count with Mike Myers. And
I like Special Needs Helmet Boy that's tethered to the jungle gym.
I do too. I watched a couple of those this morning as we were doing this. I liked Simon, the little kid in the bathtub.
Loves to do jewel rings.
Yeah, jewel rings. Linda Richman with Coffee Talk.
Oh, so great.
Dieter.
Mm-hmm.
The Sprockets.
Great Dieter.
Now, right along in here, this really gets tough to separate.
Yeah, it does. At number 4, we have Dan Aykroyd.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
And Dan was, we're getting to the guy that was bigger than the show, but Dan was close. Dan was very, very close to being on that level that that transcended whatever that show was all about at the time. But he was so smart and so quick, and there was nothing like him. There was nothing, he didn't have that fast-talking shyster. I'd never seen anything like it before.
No, his Tom Snyder was perfect.
Yes.
The Coneheads. He always played the greasy used car salesman, fast talking. What was the one?
The bag of glass.
Oh, God, the bad toys for kids on Christmas. It's a bag of glass. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
It's all right. You pick it up. You throw it around. What's wrong? What are you going to do? I don't think so.
And there was nothing he couldn't do.
No. Great actor.
Speaking of nothing he couldn't do, how about this one?
The great Phil Hartman. The glue.
Could be number 1.
He really could be. And you ask anybody for that term that he was there, he was the old man. He entered it in his mid to late 30s, and which was, you know, people were 22 when they got on that show, 23, 24. He was in his mid to late 30s. He was the fatherly figure, but he did everything.
If you want to go on pure God-given ability and talent alone, he might take the cake out of all of them.
Yeah.
Physical comedy, his voice, his characters, he could do everything.
And they all loved him.
And the best thing about him was that whatever you were doing, if there was something in it that you just couldn't quite get at, bring him in there. he could find what you were looking for, and the whole thing would be a lot better.
Number two, no denying Eddie Murphy, who after the first cast exited, here comes 19-year-old Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. And boy, there was sheer pandemonium after that first cast exited.
Yes.
Like, what are they going to do now?
Did they have,
what are they going to do without these people?
Did they have any idea what they had with Eddie Murphy? You think Lorne Michaels saw him and was... I mean, obviously they did because he was so young.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I bet they didn't.
It didn't take long, though, before all of his characters became so big that they were... That's what people tuned in to see. I did. That I wanted to see Eddie Murphy. I didn't give a damn about anybody else on that show. Joe Piscopo, any of those people back then, I wanted to see Eddie Murphy.
He was my favorite.
And then at number one...
Depending on what perspective you take on this, he should be either number one or probably number 23.
John Belushi. You don't like this, Mike.
No, definitely not number one. Now, I do recognize his significance. I do recognize that he was the first guy to break out. I do recognize, and believe me, I got a snoot full of this, that in those early days, Saturday Night Live would run, and then the next thing you knew when you saw your friends, he was the guy they would be talking about. He was the guy they would be trying to imitate. He was the guy that everybody gravitated toward.
He just had that thing about him. And, you know, you talk about bigger than the show. Belushi he dwarfed that show.
Yeah, he became much bigger than the show.
He may not have been the most talented guy. I don't know. He didn't really have enough time.
No, he didn't.
His personality, like you said, that aura, that intangible, it was clearly there.
You wanted to see that guy. You wanted to see the physical side of him. You wanted to see the crazy side of him.
He would go to any length for a laugh, too.
He would. Kind of, he had a little Farley in him, but... So there you go. There is your top 10 cast members. Now, even more controversial, the top 10.
All right, can I just say one thing about Belushi?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put him there myself. I recognize the impact he had, but he was too one-dimensional when compared to the 3, 4, 5 guys below him. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, look, the sketches that he did, his iconic sketches, the samurai sword guy...
The cheeseburger
guy. I mean, it was pretty limited in scope, but, you know, he also would do his impersonation of, what's his name? What would you do?
Joe Cocker.
That had to be, like, the biggest thing that came out of that in that time frame.
Everybody liked that.
And then, of course,
I mean, everybody
and the
liked
Blues
him.
Brothers.
Yes, everybody liked him, too, and look, I liked him as well.
The Blues Brothers, dude.
I'm just saying that if we're talking about what they brought to the show, the next five down, for me, brought a lot more. But that's just me.
All right, let's get to the top 10 actual bits in the history of Saturday Night Live.
All right, we're talking Saturday Night Live here. You all right here?
Yeah.
Are you?
No, I'm never all right.
You're never
stuck.
Completely all right.
Your button's stuck.
We're good.
Talk in your microphone. Plug in your cord. Stop the wheel of death.
You're in the wheel of death.
Yeah, we're doing better now.
Okay.
So we're talking about the Saturday Night Live 40-year anniversary special, which is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. It's going to run 3 hours, maybe more. And we just went over the top 10 cast members, in our opinion. And these are the top 12. We're going to go 12.
And look, don't get mad at us on Twitter. We know
it's impossible.
It's so impossible and so subjective. We're just doing the best that we can.
Right, and there are a million bits to choose from, and we try to do our very best. And we also tried to pull from what was not just our own opinion, but from what other people thought as well, that we're doing the same thing.
There's a couple of personal favorites in here.
Yeah, there are.
That we all got to kind of kick in. Maybe not as popular of bits.
All of these, though, are on the top 30 list, if you look at anybody's list. All of these are. But these are ours. And at number 12, Michael, you will find, and this is not purple, you will find this. Oh, son of a bitch, don't do this now.
Are you playing it off of the internet?
We're having some technical problems.
Danny, what are you... No! It's frozen. Go ahead and do it. Oh, that's mine. Go ahead and you start.
All right. We'll just do we're going to be needing this computer, Mino. Speaking of Frozen,
Ladies and gentlemen of the city council.
Here's something that's unfrozen.
I fell in some ice and later got thawed out by your scientists. Your world frightens and confuses me. When I see your tall buildings and flashing neon signs, sometimes I just want to get away as fast as I can to my place in Martha's Vineyard. I'm more at home hunting the woolly mammoth than I am hunting a good interior decorator. And when I see a solar eclipse like the one I went to last year in Hawaii, I think, oh no, is the moon eating the sun? I don't know. Because I'm a caveman. That's the way I think. But there is one thing I do know.
And this is where he always goes into some big explanation of why so-and-so is defending his due, you know, compensatory damages and all this. And the jury always says, yes, yes.
Yes.
And then this is him on the plane after the case.
Stewart, could you give me another drink?
I'm sorry, sir, but the chief steward says you've already had enough.
But you don't understand. I need this drink. I'm a caveman, and I'm frightened by your strange flying machine. So get me another douche and water punch, okay?
I'm sorry, sir.
Listen, I'll sue you and your whole crummy airline!
Next time on...
Unfrozen caveman lawyer drinks Dewars and water. Mm.
Should have been higher, if you ask me.
Yeah, the great Phil
well,
Hartman,
again,
man.
Mike, you can't...
I know,
just,
Corby,
it's
I know.
Impossible.
I know.
Don't get mad.
You're yes. talking about literally the best bits in the history
of
this show. And
I know. Don't get mad, like
you're
he
said.
You're
the one said.
That's mad.
Who, me? Yeah.
No, I'm not mad.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to see if this works. If it doesn't, I'm literally going to blow someone's head
off. I've got a few things I can play, and then we can fix yours in the break if we need to, okay?
All right, we'll see if this works. Is it purple?
Red X and welcome to the dark side, the only 15-minute show on TV. Why only 15 minutes? Because if the man gave me any more, he would consider that welfare. And I think we all know who the man is. I'm talking about the man who said, Sinbad makes bad movies, but then gave Greg Kinnear a three-picture deal. I'm talking about the same man who invented whiteout, a tricky substance that only eliminates black letters. So what's going on in the news today? Same thing every day. OJ, black people too happy, white people too mad. I haven't seen that many mad white people since they canceled Mad.
That, of course, Chris Rock and the great Nat X. The only thing that really he is known for on Saturday Night Live.
In my opinion, should be number one.
No. Higher, though.
Oh, boy.
All right, go ahead, Danny.
This has been one of my recent favorites, and I know Mike's way into this one. So if you're ever looking for anything to do in New York for nightlife... Let's meet Stefan.
Take me, for example.
Gladly.
I'm trying to find a place to take my serious girlfriend.
Oh, this always happens to me.
We've been dating for a couple years.
Boy, do I know how to pick him.
And, you know, Stefan, I work so darn much.
You gotta pay the bills.
I just want Monday night to be special.
Stefan to the rescue. New York's hottest Valentine's Day club is... Built on a dare... by 90-year-old club promoter Fuji Hauser, M.D. This no-ho nightmare has everything. Stun guns, mole people, freezing cold air. And this Valentine's Day, you can lose yourself on the dance floor surrounded by 12 dancing Jupids.
Jupids?
Jewish Cupids.
Cool. You could have Bill Hader probably in the top 10.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know?
He said, Jupids just want you to meet a nice girl and settle down.
Great job, but I gotta be honest.
What?
I don't think my girlfriend would like that.
You should probably break up with her and then do like a total 180 or something.
No! So great, not even Seth Meyers could screw it up.
Seth had his place on
that
show.
Seth was great at Weekend Update.
That is the most updated, that's the latest sketch that we have.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
So that is what? Number
11?
10. Okay, 10. All right.
Subtract a number from this point forward.
All right. I think everybody remembers this.
Household materials.
The mine door is sealed shut, MacGruber.
That's not our only problem, MacGruber. Once this hydrogen meter reaches critical, this baby's gonna blow.
Okay, this is no time to panic. You're in good hands. I've been doing this all my life. For over 37 years. In October, so I'm 36. But I think if you were to ask most people on the street, they'd probably say
seconds.
That... Right, time to focus. Casey, hammer that copper wire.
You got it, MacGruber.
Caleb, that feather.
Got you, Groove.
Great, now if I could just bypass this detonator, I'll... Oh, look behind me. Look behind me. There are things I need back there. Just turn around. Just whatever you see, whatever you find, just pick them up and give them to me. And okay.
I found this caulking putty.
Here's a battery.
Okay. You just hang on to those. I think I need to have everything that I need over here. Thank you, though.
2 seconds, MacGruber.
Okay, that's more than enough time for me to tie this bandana back on and then jeep you.
Oh, gosh.
Brilliant.
Kind of stupid, but always funny.
Yeah.
Love MacGruber.
You know, Saturday Night Live caught a huge break whenever Ross Perot decided to run for office. And it opened up what many do consider to be the absolute best character that Dana Carvey ever did.
Beautiful day, isn't it, Admiral Stockdale? Yeah, I just adore driving. I just adore it.
Where are we going?
And this was the best of the best of Ross Perot as he takes Admiral Stockdale out in the woods.
Where are we going?
That don't matter. Just going for a ride. Just eating up the highway. See, we've been working real hard. This year's kind of like a joyride, so I say enjoy.
You're the boss.
That's right. Now, you want to hear some music? You'd like that, wouldn't you? Well, today you're going to get all the music you want. Oh, I don't believe it. Well, you see, is that how the game's played, Admiral? They can't put a transmitter out here so good, honest, decent American people can hear some nice country music, and I think that's just sad.
Government's in gridlock.
Well, there you go. Now, that was vintage. That was one of the finest moments in any debate I've ever seen. I mean, talk about pinning the tail on the donkey. That's just what you did. I mean, you were A1 in that debate. You had an H-bomb. Them other fellas had a slingshot.
Ping pong match.
Well, yes, sir. You want them hams down. I tell you, them press people, they're just loony. They say you're a drag on the ticket. They must have been watching a different show. When you were quiet there for an hour, that was world class. Showed you ain't just talk. You know, quiet man, a lot going on upstairs. Them others just went shooting their mouths off.
Who am I? Why am I here?
Is that Hartman?
Oh, yeah. Of course it is. One of the great moments in Phil Hartman's career, too. But that Ross Perot, week in and week out, killed.
Always.
It got more popular than as George Bush did.
Okay, this next one, I think Alec Baldwin is arguably the greatest SNL host of all time. Okay, this is not really a recurring character. In fact, it may have only made one or two appearances, but boy, in the holiday season, there was nothing better than this bit.
Well, Pete, Terry and I have been looking forward to having you on the show because we know you're the master of all kinds of Christmas goodies. Tell us about them.
Well, there are lots of great treats at this time of year. Zucchini bread, fruitcake. But the thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls.
Balls. Tell us about your balls, Pete.
Well, over at Season's Eatings, we have balls for every taste. Popcorn balls, cheese balls, rum balls, you name it.
Wow. My mouth's watering just thinking about those balls.
It's been years since I've seen any balls.
Would you like to see my balls now?
Yeah.
Whip them out. Whip them, baby.
Whip them out.
Is it Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer?
Yes.
Wow. You have some beautiful balls.
They're bigger than I expected.
I know a lot of people tell me that.
Look at that, Terry, the way they glisten.
Gross.
That's because I make sure that each one of my balls gets plenty of oil.
I can't help but notice, Pete, your balls are a little misshapen.
That's because I rested them on a hot stove for too long.
Can I touch your balls?
Go ahead, but be careful. They're very delicate.
Wow. I can't wait to get my mouth around this ball.
Ooh, I like the way your balls smell.
How did they not crack up?
Oh, my God.
Do whatever you want to them, ladies. My balls are here for your pleasure.
All right.
Hang on. Big
punchline. I have to say, your balls are so tender.
Well, there's no beating my balls. They're made from a secret sweaty family recipe. No one can resist my sweaty balls.
And God, were you not in tears the first time you saw that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. The top six after this?
Yeah. We didn't really expect it to go that long. Yeah. We'll do our top five next.
All right. Well, let's get back into the second half of the best bits, best skits on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, these
we got
are the
six more of these to go.
These are the best of the best.
Some of our favorites.
Clearly subjective, but at the same time, it's what we came up with. And when this came out in 2003, it is the hardest I'd laughed at Saturday Night Live in many, many years.
Very good talk show. Candidate Arianna Huffington. Discussing politics. Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante.
It's like, what is happening?
It's so insane.
Uh-oh. Did we just stop?
Guess we did.
I'm having massive problems over here with my iTunes library. But, yeah, anyway, the Barry Gibb talk show, it's first off, it speaks to Jimmy Fallon because it was so spot on and so funny. And I don't know who wrote that thing and who put that out there. But Jimmy's best bits, and they still are today, are what you see on The Tonight Show, the musical bits.
Yep.
They are hilarious. And, man, Justin Timberlake, you could have put D in a box on this list, too, because it was a recurring thing with he and Andy Samberg. All these are like water coolery type events. And that Barry Gibb talk show, holy cow,
so
man.
Crazy.
Yes, it's so...
So confrontational with his guests.
Yes.
Does kung fu
yes.
kicks.
Yes. You did not talk to me that way. And the understated Justin Timberlake is Robin Gibb.
No.
And singing the high harmonies, man. Just, God, it was great. So brilliant. On the Barry Gibb talk show. It's awesome. It is definitely top five and probably will forever be for me. We harken back to the old days. You have to put something from the original cast on there. And I think the one thing that got people talking, hopefully this plays, was this skit.
Jörg, my brother, there will certainly be a lot of swinging in our bachelor pad tonight.
Hold it. Let's catch some rays.
You and what army? Forget about it.
By the way, so...
Such butchered cliches.
Yes, this is the Festrunk brothers, the wild and crazy guys, Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd, and... I just like Belushi, I'm sure people showed up at work or whatever talking about these two guys on a weekly basis. And people thought Steve Martin was an actual cast member.
Boy, they were when I was in school. Every Monday, did you guys see Saturday Night Live? Oh, my God. And doing the impressions
and
acting out the skits.
Wearing their stupid. These are two Czech immigrants, for those who don't know, that are over here just trying to get chicks.
I'm trying to get in the swing of things. Now, they didn't do this every week.
No.
They only did it when Steve Martin would
host
which was a couple
times
a year.
He did it a bunch.
Yeah, he did it a bunch. It was probably a couple times a year. But that was must-see TV. Those were must-see episodes of Saturday Night Live. And the reason they were, was because you knew that they were going to whip this out.
Yeah.
That Fox Bar was really something tonight. It was no difficulty to see many swinging Americans enjoying each other a great deal. And here is a thing I will tell you. The two most swinging foxes had the hots on for us and are coming here tonight to let us hold on to their big American breasts. Why not? There's nothing preventing them. After all, there is no other pair of Czech brothers who cruise and swing so successfully in tight slacks. We are two wild and crazy guys.
Catch phrase. Catch phrase. Oh my God!
American breasts.
All right, so
man, that was great.
Ladies and gentlemen, we give you now number four.
Yeah.
And we give you the great Eddie Murphy as Buckwheat.
Been a long time them dim days. Hi, I'm Buckwheat. Remember me?
Remember me?
And I have compiled for you and your listening pleasure some of my favorite songs. It's all here on this unspectacular offer. Buckwheat sings. Take a whistle.
Yes, they're all here.
You can put nub in all the wrong places. Wookin' Punub.
Wookin' Punub.
Once Buckwheat sings a song, it's eternally his.
The dot, dead a diver, then on the dad,
so great.
God.
Such brilliance, man. Such absolute brilliance. At number three, this is, if by any metric you use, the most popular sketch in Saturday Night Live history. This is it. These are the two most popular characters on any meter, anything you read. This is it. And they make number three on our list.
Oh. It's time to party. I'm your excellent host, Wade Campbell. With me, as always, is Garth.
Party on, Wade.
Party on, Garth.
Okay. Everything seems so cliche now, but you know, it's all tired almost, but it was so funny at the time, and it's what you look forward to. You wanted Wayne's World to happen, and it was always the first skit right after the, you know, the sweep at the bottom.
Bottom.
But, I mean, you liked this, didn't you, Mike?
Loved it.
Okay. So it's Oscar time, right? Excellent.
Yeah, we love the Oscars.
Yeah, they're excellent. You know, but I'm sorry. I think the movies this year, I think they were lame.
This sucked.
Sucked Rhino.
It's just so... Everything about it. You know, the movies probably killed the bit.
Yeah.
Just like they do everything. But anytime a movie tries to tackle something like that. But, dude, it was brilliant. And those two guys... God, it was great. It was such great stuff in the early 90s.
I didn't hate the first movie.
No, the movies were great, but I mean, looking back at it now in hindsight, it's almost like...
It killed it.
Yes, it did. It absolutely killed it.
Just a couple weeks ago, I saw an episode of that with Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah. That's the most popular one. That Aerosmith showed up on the public access show of Wayne and Garth.
And the neat thing about it was Tom Hamilton had a speaking part.
You ever met Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith?
No. All right, Eddie Murphy makes another appearance, and man, this boy, did this bring an urban edge to Saturday Night Live, this bit.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I spent the afternoon making a brand new friend for life. Too bad that I was making it with the landlord's wife. It's nice to be out with a friend who won't tell what we've been doing in local motels. Will you be mine? Will you be mine? I'm glad she is my neighbor.
19
Hello, boys and girls.
Yeah.
This is a present I found on my doorstep today.
It's a basket.
It was left here by an old friend of mine named Juanita. We had a real special friendship. You know, friends like to give each other things. I gave something to Juanita one night. Eight times one night.
Eight.
And now Juanita has given me something. Let's see what it is.
So funny.
It weighs about 7 pounds. And it smells like rotten milk. And it snores, boys and girls.
He opens it up.
Ooh, it has been a long time since I've seen Juanita. About 9 months. Here's the riddle, boys and girls. What's black and Puerto Rican and has my eyes? It's today's new word.
He walks over to an easel, and on the easel is a big poster board, and it just says the word bastard. This is how he finishes it.
Can you use this word in a sentence? Cab drivers can.
Cab drivers can. The awesome. Great Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Awesome. At number two, so running down the list of our top 12 bits, Unfrozen Caveman, Stefan, MacGruber, Ross Perot, Nat X, Sweaty Balls, Barry Gibb Talk Show, The Wild and Crazy Guys, Buckwheat, Wayne's World, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, and number one, and I think this is pretty unanimous, and it has been for the 23 years or so since it came on the air. This is widely regarded as the best skit SNL has ever done.
Our parents, huh?
But your father and I came up with a brilliant idea to give you kids some direction. A motivational speaker.
Yeah, one of those guys who speaks to big groups at high schools and churches.
You mean to come to the house?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
all right, later.
Thanks, anyway. Hey, come on, you guys. This set me back.
And again, it's Phil Hartman's brilliance in this, you know?
Yeah.
His speech is called Go For It. Now, he's used to big groups, so make him feel like there's a crowd here. Matt, come on up, buddy!
Is this Spade and Applegate?
Yep.
All right, how's everybody? Good, good, good. Now, where's your...
Everyone on the set is laughing.
Losing it.
Christina Applegate.
They have their head in their hands.
Yes, Christina crying. Applegate has her bangs hanging down, yeah. And she's shot from the left profile. So her bangs are that down there so she won't show herself laughing.
Right.
Spade is laughing. Hartman's laughing. Chris Farley is Matt Foley, motivational speaker, and it just gets crazy. This is the first one ever.
Father probably told you my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river. Now you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river. Now, young man, what do you want to do with your life?
Actually, Matt, I kind of want to be a writer.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh! We got ourselves a writer here! Hey, Dad, I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Well, actually, Matt, Ellen and I have encouraged Brian in his writing.
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper! Now, I wonder, Brian, from what I've heard, you're using your paper not for writing, but for rolling doobies.
Doobies.
You're going to be doing a lot of doobie rolling when
Oh, God.
He always goes on to destroy the coffee table.
There, well, as great as a physical comedian as Belushi was, you cannot touch Chris Farley.
The Chippendales dance.
God. Just incredible. That was a cry laugh moment.
Oh, no doubt.
Crying laughing. Well, there you go.
What a healthy body of work there.
Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And no doubt controversy will surround it, but get your own show if you want to do it. All right.